Okay, good evening. Good evening. We have a couple of prayer requests. We want to pray for Bindu today and her condition on her hip. We want to pray for her. Goes in for a diagnosis and opinions tomorrow for surgery. So, and also Vignesh's ear condition. So, Father, we just by faith, corporately in the body, if you would lift up your hands in faith. We believe you, Father, for the overruling of things that are beyond human comprehension. And a natural phenomena is a miracle to you. We pray by faith you will touch and heal. You will give wisdom and discernment to the doctors, and there would be rest in her heart. And pray for Manoj and the family and anybody that also has an affliction. We pray for Vignesh's ear, complete healing. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. You have said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 31:15, our times are in your hands. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, in 11, you have set eternity in our hearts. So we are people that have a destiny, and we are not as those that have no hope, as your word says in Hebrews. So we pray you minister and you'll bless beyond comprehension. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, okay, is there a class for the kids? Okay, the kids can go up. Agilesh, Sir Agilesh has bought pizzas for you guys today. Are you excited to be here today? Yes or no? Yep. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 20, there is a battle that is about to be fought. And I like the historical books because they are principles of truth that is available to us through the history of Israel. And we have the Arameans going to battle with Ahab. And there is always a misconception in the mind of the enemy when he is in a position of confronting God's people. Because the enemy is sometimes invisible by sight, there is a seeming advantage that they think they have. Therefore, the purpose of the enemy is to weaken the believer in God. Not to weaken the believer in God so that he could trust God, but to weaken the believer in himself so he can rely on his own personal strength than to rely on God. What does God do? God is in the process of breaking down the individual person in his natural ability so that that person would put his reliance in God. God is not against natural ability, but he is in the process of breaking down a person who trusts in himself so that that person would learn to depend on God. Now, in this process of God dealing with us as believers, where God deals with us in terms of everything that is natural, when he deals with us in this respect, it is because he wants us to find out things that we have in him that we did not know we had. Okay? He wants us to come to discover those things that we have in him that we did not know before he started working this process in us. So, what seemingly is apprehended by sight, God kind of discards, because God wants that person to apprehend by faith. So this is a principle wherein which there is a misconception in the mind of the enemy in relationship to his approach to the king of Israel, especially when there is a multitude of counselors that do not understand the nature of God. And they have misconceptions in relationship to their attack against God's people. So this is in 1 Kings chapter 20. There is the battle between Aram and Israel, between Ben-Hadad and the king of Aram and Ahab. In this battle, Aram is struck. Then verse 22, then the prophet came near to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself and observe and see what you have to do, for at the turn of the year, the king of Aram will come up against you. Now this is the key. There is consolation to the people of God, because the people of God are not disconnected from the voice of God. They are not disconnected from the counsel of God. That is the assurance that you and I have when there is something of a sinister plot that is devised against us, behind us, that we are not aware of. There is the voice of God that comes to the people of God when there is a sinister plot that is formulating at the back that we are not aware of. It is not for us to be subjective or to presume. It is for us to be in a place where we are attentive to hear. So the man of God says to the king of Aram will come against you, and you are to do something. You are to equip yourself in the meantime. Now here it is. The servants of the king of Aram said to him, their gods are the god of mountains. 1 Kings 20 verse 23. Therefore they are stronger than we, but rather let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. Meaning, we didn't have all our players fit for the game against you. Let's have a replay. It's a rematch. It's a bout. You know, they have in boxing, they win, and then the guy says, we'll have a bout. Maybe I was not properly equipped the first time. Second time, I will come equipped. So, do this thing. Remove the kings each from his place and put captains in their place. And muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. It came about at the turn of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Arameans and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. Somewhere around the Galilean area. Then the sons of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went to meet them. And the sons of Israel came before them like two little flocks of goats, but the Arameans filled the country. And then, now think about it. In verse 22, there's a prophet of 1 Kings 20. But in 1 Kings 20, 28, there is a man of God. In the book of Kings, historical book, sometimes the names of these men are not mentioned. We have Nathan, Samuel, Gad. They are called men of God, prophets, the seer. The man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Arameans have said the Lord is a God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valleys. Where did they say that? In verse 23. Therefore I will give all the great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So they camped won over against 7 days, and it came about that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the sons of Israel killed of the Arameans 100,000 foot soldiers in 1 day. The rest of them fled to Afek into the city, and the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into the inner chamber. And he kind of fell prostrate before the king, and the king made a covenant which he should not have made. And then we turn the page, I mean in my thing, and you go there in verse 35. Now a certain man of the sons of prophets, it goes on, you can read, but this is the key. We lost the battle at a high altitude. If we could only meet them a little lower, because when we fought them at a higher altitude, it was advantage Israel. We'll fight them a little lower in the valley, it will be advantage Aram. And they did so, and they lost the battle in the plain, in the valley. Very often, the believer will try to seek for a place of advantage when he is faced with decisions in his calling. Very often, a believer will look for a place of advantage when it comes to the nature of his calling. We don't have to worry about trying to gain advantage, because we know that God is already for us before even he has called us to a very specific task. God says, I am with you and I am for you. So the believer is not looking for an advantage. The believer is looking to be directed by God. The believer is looking to be directed by God. The believer is looking to be in a place where God looks at him with divine favor. He is not looking to gain or secure an advantage. He is looking to be directed by God. He's looking to the will of God. He is looking for God's favor upon his life. Now, this is the key. God sometimes reveals himself to his people in the valleys of life. He reveals himself to his people in the valleys of life. This is to correct the misconception that is prevailing in the lives of people that believe that they need to secure a higher altitude. They need to be in a place like the mountaintops in order to secure an advantage with God. God is saying no. You don't have to be at a place at a higher altitude to be at an advantage with me. I will put you in the valleys and in the plains of life, and there you will get to know me in such a way that you would never get to know me if you were in a higher place. The enemy is seeking for an advantage when it comes to his attack against God's people. God's people are looking to be placed in valleys where they would discover God. Okay, I want you to know that. God reveals himself under mysterious conditions. In the scriptures, God reveals himself under very mysterious conditions. In relationship to very specific attacks against God's people, God reveals himself very mysteriously. Gideon was taking wheat to be threshed in the wine press in chapter 6 to 8 of the book of Judges. He did not go with the wheat to the wine press to offer the first fruits of the offering. He went there to thresh it because there was just a little grain for himself and his family. And an angel of the Lord in a theophany appeared to him and said, O mighty man of valor. Gideon was quite shocked at the statement that was made, because the angel told him that he is going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. It was under a condition of oppression by the Midianites that Gideon was raised up and was given an army of 300 men to overcome them. God said, if I allow you to go with 32,000 men, you will take credit for what you did. So I'm going to reduce the number to 300, wherein which the enemy numerically will completely and totally outweigh these 300 men, but I'm going to deliver Israel as one man. And he won the battle. He was apprehended by God at a place where, in the spirit of cowardice, he was going to thresh wheat in the winepress. He was looking to sustain his family. God is interested in delivering Israel. Man is interested in his sustenance. God is interested in his victory. As one person is thinking of how to preserve his life, God is thinking about the rest of the nation that is facing adversity. Think about it. It is in the valleys of life that a person finds his true significance of who he is in the plan of God. Think about it. David fled twice. The first time he fled from Saul. When King Saul, in 1 Samuel 18 onwards, after his victory against Goliath, became so popular that the nation wrote songs about David, that to Saul tormented him, and he was pursuing David, a commander in his army. And as David became successful in warfare against the Philistines, and David grew in strength and might and fame, Saul became deranged more and more, where he wanted to murder him. So David had to flee into the wilderness of Judah, into the plains of En-Gedi. And it is when he went there in 1 Samuel 22 that he discovered a whole bunch of people that he could train in warfare. Now, I'm not saying that, if he had stayed back in Saul's kingdom, what would happen? But just think, it took hatred on the part of a man, the king of a nation, Saul, envy that took a hold of him. He entered into destructive patterns to the point where it caused David to flee. But his fleeing was very necessary in order for the kingdom to be established. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David understood through the Psalms that later on that was written to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God was the one that was shepherding him all the time. What did David realize? David realized that in his darkest moments, God was very much light to him. What is it? In his darkest moments, God was very much light to him. The next time he had to flee was when he had to flee from his son that overtook the kingdom. And you read 2 Samuel 13 to 18. We see the conspiracy of Absalom. And David had to leave the kingdom in order to come back again at a later point of time when Absalom was taken out of the way. He learned some things in his moment of adversity. He learned something. Because God sets adversity alongside prosperity in the book of Ecclesiastes in the 7th chapter. Man may not find out the difference between the one and the other. Think about it today. the believer may procrastinate on the plane, but in the valley, he would have to make a decision. In the book of Joel, in the 3rd chapter, people are in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and they are called there because God enters into judgment with them there, and they are called to make a decision. May not necessarily make a decision on the mountaintop, but in the valley, have to make a what? Decision. When the 12 spies went across to spy into the promised land, Numbers 13 and 14, they came to the place which was called the Valley of Eshkol, cluster of grapes. In that valley, when they came to the Valley of Eshkol, they saw the foliage and the fruit, the foliage and the fruits. They took some of the first fruits of those places, they put it on shoot bamboos, poles, and they brought it to tell Israel, this is indeed a land that flows with milk and honey, but there's one problem there. There's giants in the land. In the Valley of Eshkol, the 12 tribes were called to make a decision, and 10 of them made a decision by sight. 2 of them had another confession to make by faith. In the Valley of Eshkol, they were called to make a decision, and this decision that they were called to make, which was had for its premise the promise of God, go and possess the land, caused a majority, in fact, all those that came out of Egypt, caused them never to enter into the promised land. Can you imagine that? Hearsay, on the basis of 10 of them, caused an entire nation to perish as they came out of Egypt and never got an opportunity to enter into the promised land because 10 spies brought back a report that was true by sight but contrary to the nature of God. Our place of disadvantage gives God an opportunity for Him to show Himself to be victorious on our behalf. Our place of disadvantage gives God an opportunity to show Himself to be victorious on our behalf. We may not understand the complexities of life as we are placed in these conditions, but God is the one that allows us to be in that place so that the enemy can enter into a miscalculation of the vulnerability and the weaknesses that we have. Vulnerability because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, weakness because of our inability in relationship to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Number one, vulnerability in relationship to the circumstances we find ourselves in, weakness in relationship to the inability or the lack of strength that we have in terms of the circumstances that we find. We are looking for a place of advantage, but God is looking also from the standpoint of showing Himself to be victorious on our behalf. In the Valley of Eshkol, a cluster of grapes, they had it in their hand, they took it back, they're saying everything that God said is good, but there is something that was not told to us, there are giants in the land. In the Valley of Elah, Goliath showed himself to the nation of Israel. The Philistine champion showed himself in 1 Samuel chapter 17 to Israel. And for 40 days, as he stood up, Israel bowed down. And as Israel, they were just playing the seesaw battle. And David decided in the Valley of Elah that he was going to enlist in such a manner so as to allow God to show himself victorious on behalf of this people. Therefore he said, the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord. Then there is the Psalm 23 valley. Even though I pass through the valley of what? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The mountaintops are those places that the believer is familiar with. Therefore, there is a manner in which he can direct himself. The valleys are places where the believer cannot direct himself with. Nevertheless, he is placed there in it by God. Let me say it again. The mountaintop is a place where the believer is, it's a place where the believer is familiar with. There are all kinds of signposts and everything that is there. But the valley is in a place where the believer finds himself that is not familiar. He is not familiar. Which is known to him. It is in those places that God shows himself to the believer. So the enemy from his position not only enters into a place where there is a misconception. There is not just only a misconception, but it's also an embarrassment because of his personal defeat. In the valley, God takes the misconception of the enemy which sees the believer in a place of vulnerability and weakness, and he so turns it around. And the misconception of the enemy is actually turned into victory for the believer. Very often when decision making takes place and the decision that is made is inconsistent with the security of the flesh. Very often when a decision is made and the decision doesn't align itself with the security of the flesh, that decision will often be resisted by the flesh. But when that person pursues, irrespective of the resistance that is there, and is victorious, the person that is living in with natural inclinations will say, I was just kidding you. I knew that you would eventually accomplish this. Have you ever heard that before? A person in decision making, gone before God, God is leading them to make a decision where they are seemingly going to move to an environment that is not a mountain environment, that is not on the mountains, but that is in the valley, because God is going to show himself to them there, and they are going to learn how to be teachable in a unique way. They're going to learn teachability in prayer. They're going to learn teachability in waiting on God. They're going to learn something there in those places which is not familiar. God is going to teach them something unique that they never have ever learned before about his nature and character in that place, without which I would never have come into the place where I've known that. But if, when that decision is made, a decision is made by faith. When people are living with natural inclinations, they will resist that decision of faith through conversations, just like this prophet came and told the king, said, you know what, get them down in the plain and you can take them, because their God is the God of mountains. In the same manner, we don't exactly represent the prophet that gives wrong counsel. I mean, we are not like that person. But we are like his spirit that will challenge the decision of a spiritually minded person, because that decision of the spiritually minded person is really threatening my self-existence as a believer that is living naturally. And in my mind, I'm almost persuaded to say, I don't think you should be taking these risks because you are going to be vulnerable if you take these risks. Then that person takes that step of faith and finds himself in the valley with God. The person that is living, he is a Christian, but is living their life naturally, thinks he is going to meet the enemy in the valley. But this believer is not going to the valley to meet the enemy. He is going to meet God in the valley. But the perception is that he is going to face the enemy in the valley. He doesn't understand it is God that he is seeking for in the valley. He does not understand that the enemy is not in the valley. But the enemy is the counsel that comes against the spirit-filled Christian that is resisting the faith walk of that believer. Do you understand that? I don't know if you got it. Who is the enemy? The enemy is not the person that the believer is going to, is not the whom the believer is going to meet in the valley. The enemy is the person that is that has a natural mindset and is resisting the spirit-filled Christian is in taking that step of faith. It is much more easier for the enemy to be defeated in the valley than for this person that gives wrong counsel to be defeated. Many, many believers get taken out of the way because they allow natural inclinations to counsel them outside of the will of God. And when the going gets tough in their Christian life, they retreat. They retreat because they are, in one sense, counseled not to take that decision in faith. And the Holy Spirit is very quick to prompt to these individuals things that I cannot see and ear cannot hear, nor it has entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. So these valleys were never placed for people to retreat from. These valleys were not there for people to retreat from, but for people to enter into. Because in these valleys, there were great things that God had done. See, God moves mountains. He does not move valleys. Mountains he lays low, but valleys he fills. To God, darkness and light is the same in Psalm 139. 1 Kings 8:12, God dwells in thick darkness. Darkness and light are the same to him in Psalm 139. Whether it's the mountaintop or in the valleys, it makes no difference with God. So remember, in our Christian experience, we will be brought to places of vulnerability and we will be brought to places of inability. And the enemy will evaluate us based on these two places, but that is exactly where God is going to be found with the believer. You understand that? And just when we think that life is over and we have resigned ourselves into being beaten by the enemy, God is the one that steps into the scene and he has a brand new plan that is available for us. Because it is not the purpose, it is not in God's purpose to see his people defeated. It is in God's purpose to see his people always living victoriously. That is why I love the analogies that are there in the historical books, because we sometimes can allow ourselves to be beaten up psychologically. There may not be any form of physical abuse, but we allow ourselves to be tormented psychologically, and in our mind we have a mentality of living this life in complete defeat, and we resign ourselves to the things that torment us, and God in his purpose, in the plan, brings us to these places where he confronts our fears, so that our fears are completely and totally dealt with once and for all. Make a decision in faith to confront your fears. Make a decision in faith not to run away from those things that God is dealing, wants to do in our lives. Let it be brought out into the open. I'm not saying, you know, go and tell someone what they are. Allow God to deal with it, because in allowing God to deal with it, we will meet God in that place. So we see this beautiful analogy here, wherein which it is the enemy that sought out the thought of the plan. It is the enemy that counseled. It is the enemy that chose a particular location. And it was the enemy that God defeated. What is it? The enemy thought of the plan. The enemy counseled in the plan. The enemy even thought about a specific location. But it is the enemy that God defeated. It doesn't really matter. God dealt with the person. God dealt with the plan. And God dealt with the place. Person, plan, and place. All dealt with by God. And the nation was victorious. The only thing that didn't happen in that 1 Kings 20 was that the king of Aram was not killed, but he was spared, just like Saul spared King Agag and the fatlings of the flock. And he lost something as a result of sparing it. The believer has to do that. He cannot allow those things that God has put under the ban. He cannot put it in storage. He has to deal with it. Amen? So, it's a good study. I know it's a big one, but we look at the word valleys in the Bible, and you can go specifically, and you can look at those specific points wherein which there is a decision that people will have to make in relationship to specific valleys. I just quoted a few. There's a ton of them. And in those valleys, believers are brought to a certain decision, and God meets them in those places, and they discover something of God's nature in those places. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we recognize that you are leading us and guiding us. And our places of vulnerability and weakness are great places to be in, because you are found to be there for us in those places. Once again, we pray for your hand over our lives. You are continually leading and guiding us, each individual very specifically, very minutely, very precisely. And we're looking for a momentum in the body of Christ as we are looking for the summer months. We're looking to make an impact through your leading and your guidance and your direction and your will in our lives. We once again commit Bindu to you, and we ask you to just extend your hand over our life, Father. We are beseeching and pleading with you today. We thank you. We pray for Pastor Carl in a special way today. We pray for Pastor Duke Houghton. We pray for Pastor Morrison. We pray for Pastor Yorma in Finland. Lord, we pray for Pastor Harry Weisskopf in Chicago. We pray for Pastor Drew. We pray for Pastor Rajan in a specific way in Nepal. All these men that are in some way afflicted, in some way, in different ways, Father, we pray. Before the recovery of Pastor Steve Morello and Pastor Ellis today, we pray. Physically, we pray. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.